This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.
Well, thanks for doing this, mate.
No problem at all.
No problem. Did you go to the game yesterday?
Yeah.
How did you find it?
We weren't that great. Really laid a glove on you, to be honest. I saw a few people say that, but I'd spoken to Mark, our manager, before. And anyway, and he kind of said that the game wasn't going to define our season because we had so many injuries and players out. Where I was in the stand, we had half the first team squad sitting in front of me who would normally be playing. So it was disappointing from that respect. Lads gave their all, really, especially second half. But we never really worked your keeper, did we? So you can see why you're a well-drilled side, obviously well up there. And what I thought was impressive was obviously at 2-0, he just did a really professional job, which is the one thing we're not capable of doing,
you know,
seeing games out. Like Wednesday, we went down to Torquay Wednesday night, 1-1 at half-time. We came out and went 3-1 up after 15 minutes of the second half, and it finished 3-3 because we can't see games out, you know.
That's what's
most disappointing at the moment. 2-0 up away at Scunthorpe at half-time. And lost 3-2. 3-2 up against Woking with 10 to go and drew 3-3. So we've dropped a lot of points from winning positions this season. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and to be honest, you've still had quite a good start for a promoted side. It's pre-game yesterday, you were banging mid-table. So even with all that,
it's
still been quite a good start.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd take that. We'd have taken that at the start of the season. And we're all obviously we're being greedy, you know, when we throw games away and stuff. But it's kind of we need to start learning from that, you know, some naivety and stuff that's cost us. Scunthorpe 2-0 up at half time and absolutely playing them off the pitch, and losing 3-2 was a real blow that day. That was a real blow. Some of the other ones have not been. And I think Wednesday night as well, being 3-1 up at Torquay.
Yeah.
Teams down the bottom and then allowed them to come back in as well. But I don't think we're nervously looking over our shoulders or anything like that just yet. I think we'll be all right.
Oh yeah, I don't for one second think you're going to be in the relegation mix come the end of the season. I think you've I guess never say never in that respect, but I think you've probably already had too much of a good start. Like yeah. you can certainly score goals, which I think from the point of view yesterday, I think that's impressive that we've come out of it with a clean sheet. Because you can definitely score goals. Your problems you've come at the other end.
Yeah. That was, I think that was the first time we haven't scored all season yesterday.
Was it really?
Yeah. I think it was the first game we've been involved in where we haven't scored. So, yeah, you're right. There's a long way to go, and I think we'll get plenty more points here and there throughout the season. Yeah.
Yeah, so who's your, what's your sort of your next five games?
So we've got Bromley next Saturday. So we've got a week before we play Bromley. So hopefully some of those injured players can get the chance to get back for those. We've then got a quick turnaround because we've got Halifax away on the Tuesday night, which is a rearranged fixture because we were due to play them couple of weeks ago, and just as the coach was about to set off from Dorking, it got called off. So thankfully, they hadn't got all the way up to Halifax or halfway or anything like that. So they made quite an early call on that. Yeah. But that has been rearranged quite quickly. So that's on the following Tuesday. And then we've got York at home. And after that, I think Maidenhead away early December. One of the games that's been brought forward because of the World Cup. So that's half 12 kickoff.
Yeah.
And then I think after that, it's Chesterfield away on the 10th of December. So we've got a few, we've got a mixture of home and away games. And those away games, obviously, as you know yourself, there's a lot of travelling in this league as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. There is. I think, our next away game's Gateshead, and it's just not.
Yeah.
Me and a few of my mates, we did a Newcastle weekender, I think 3 years ago when we played Sunderland when we were in League One. And it's like, we're not doing the weekender this time, but it's like, if we were, we're now playing Gateshead.
Yeah,
there's certainly been some shock for the system for us. But obviously, you guys, you're on the rise. You've come the other way. Is it 12 promotions in 23 years?
Yeah, 12 promotions in 20. Yeah, so the club was only formed in 1999. Yeah. And it started off as a park team that I was part of a few years later. So I played for the team, when we were sort of a park side.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, that typical just a group of mates paying a fiver to play. You know, if you were a sub, you'd be running the line, putting the nets up, flags in, all that sort of stuff. And then the team just gradually got better and better. And then it moved to where we used to be at West Humble, that was basically an old rundown sort of playing fields with some old wooden buildings there that we managed to get possession of. And they told us there was no running water down there and no electricity. So we basically found some water, got electricity generators in there and redid the changing rooms and everything and got that ground. So we were playing there through like the Isthmian leagues and things like that. Yeah. And then we moved into Meadowbank 4 or 5 years ago now, where we're back in the centre of the town. Yeah. On the 3G.
When did it sort of become a thing then that a bit more money gets pumped in? When did Mark sort of turn up, or was Mark there literally from day one?
No, Steve's there from day one. It's his team. Yeah, he played in the team. He was the chairman of the team, and he played in the team as well. So it's his team, and he's been at virtually every game for the last 23 years. So it's just grown and grown. And obviously, you know, when clubs go up, even at county level, players get a bit of money as well, and money starts to be generated from local sponsors and things like that. And then it just gets bigger and bigger, and you find more people want to invest because you're going up through the leagues and people are talking about you, and you're getting out there and a bit more promotion. A lot of the guys are pretty good at generating, you know, sponsorship and things like that. So all that started to come in, and now where the club is now, so much of it is generated through sponsors, and very much like, you know, like lots of teams do, where you can sponsor a player, you can sponsor a game and all that sort of thing, you know, get advertising boardings around the ground, things like that. So it's just, it's gradually, it's kind of gone up step by step. And that then means, though, that behind the scenes, it's got to be people that are responsible for that as well, that do the marketing and do the advertising and do the sponsorship and the commercial side of things. But it's nowhere near what clubs like yourself and other clubs in the National League would be. It's still a very small army of volunteers and people that just do it voluntarily. You know, everybody, mostly the people that are involved in the club have got a job. There's only about three or four people that are actually full-time paid by Dorking Wanderers.
Yeah, it's an incredible rise up sort of literally from a Sunday league team to where would the ultimate goal be Dorking Wanderers in the Football League? Because I think that would have to be one of the greatest football fairy tales ever, I think. Sunday team.
Yeah, well, I mean, so we weren't a Sunday team, Scott. We were a Saturday team.
Right,
so,
okay.
We were a Saturday team. So we were a Saturday playing in the West Sussex Leagues and things like that. So, and that's when it started, and then it became sort of a county side from there. But I think certainly getting into the Football League would be, like you say, one of the biggest achievements. That'd be unprecedented, I think, in this country, because it never had any of that kind of, it wasn't one of these teams that was kicking around in the Isthmian leagues or the county leagues or things like that for a long, long time. And then somebody came along with a potload of money. Or I was just watching, actually, just before you loaded up, they've done another one of those, another series of the Class of 92 about Salford City.
Yes.
You know, with all them. And it was, I remember watching that when it first started, and they were going up through the Northern Leagues and then into the National League and beyond. But Dorking started at the very bottom, started at the lowest possible league they could have gone into, because they created as a brand new team in 1999. So they just got put into this division and then went through all the leagues to where they are now. So yeah, like you say, Scott, I think if they were to get into the Football League, that would probably be one of the greatest ever achievements and a proper underdog story. You're not like somebody said the other day about Wrexham being a real underdog story. That's, I don't think that's quite an underdog story, to be honest.
No, not quite. It's funny though, because I think we've gone the other way. We've obviously gone on the decline and we've slumped down the leagues, and you find yourself in the National League and it's got to be the hardest division to get out of, because obviously you only get that one guaranteed automatic spot. So then obviously for the likes of yourselves, it's the same thing. It's still equally as hard to get out. But yeah, I think you can certainly never say never. There's been clubs that probably have made it to the Football League that maybe you'd look like Barrow, for instance, or like Harrogate, like these small clubs can do it.
Yeah, we've got Crawley just down the road from us. We've got Crawley, who obviously were a non-league side for a long time, and then they became, then they went up League Two, League One, and sort of pretty solidified themselves as a Football League side now for the last few years. But obviously they had been non-league as well. Yeah,
it's frustrating because for the likes of ourselves, and it's. Yeah, I think I've got to be honest enough and say it's a bit of jealousy when I look at some other clubs, the likes of Crawley, as you say, Burton, Fleetwood, like very, very small clubs. But then I think that ultimately is where we have failed as a business. So that's why that's happened. These are very well-run clubs and they live within their means, I think, is the most important takeaway from that. We're in a very, very awkward position at the minute where we're 11 games unbeaten in the league and it's going very, very well on the pitch, but off the pitch is still an absolute shambles.
Yeah.
You still look at that and you think everything's in place. I'd like to sort of, to really be, certainly, at the bare minimum, be a playoff contender in this league. And it's just like, oh, are you going to, are you going to pull the rug from underneath it yet again? And yeah, I think that would be the only thing holding us back. But then when you're saying there with regards to Dalkin, you've got volunteers, you've got only like a very small amount of full-time employees.
Mm-hmm.
But you're living within your budget, you're living within your means. So until you reach a stage where hopefully you can grow and hopefully you can scale, you're probably going to keep doing that.
Yeah, I'd hope so. Yeah, I would hope so. I think that's one of the things that we do as a club. We are pretty sensible with our finances, things like that. You know, we won't go out and get a player in if we don't think it's the right sort of player or it's going to cost too much money. We'll generally do things within our means, and I think it's getting, I think behind the scenes it is pretty well run. I think we're all pretty happy the way that it is run as well, and the people that we've got in and around the club. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think actually, well, I hope Eden can actually hear us at this point, which I think might be a point where Ed can jump in, because I know Ed watches the documentary which goes out on YouTube. I really hope he can hear that, or this is going to come
I can. I've not got the camera on, won't lie. I've got banging what feels like a migraine, so I'm keeping that camera off. Face for radio anyway, so but yeah, I watch that documentary a lot, and it's, well, yeah, every single one that comes out, and the we've already talked about the rise being impressive, but the realness of it is what I like. You know, it's Mark is in that sense, he's your normal everyday guy, but you know, but he has a really good knowledge of the game and his understanding of it. Is he like that in real life? Is that just him? He certainly seems that way. He's a real genuine geezer.
Yeah, he's absolutely what you see is what you get with Mark. Yeah. You know, he's been around Dorking all his life. You know, he's a Dorking boy through and through. When he grew up in Dorking, went to school in Dorking, went to watch the old Dorking Football Club before they folded, supports Wimbledon. But, you know, it's genuine, so genuine. You know, says hello to every single person that's down at Meadowbank watching. He'll come over when we were at Torquay Wednesday night. Before the game, he came up into the stand and chatted to us all. Saturday, he came over before the game and spoke to us as well. You know, so yeah, what you see is what you get. There's nothing, and how Mark is there's no difference between how he is on a bunch of amateurs, how he is on a game day, how he is day to day, really. Yeah, and he lives and breathes Dorking Wanderers. You know, it's his thing. You know. So yeah, I mean, like you say, he is exactly how he is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's I mean, obviously, without going into too much detail, you know, is the money, is it from him? You know, is he the one that sort of backs the club? Is it just him, or?
Well, there's lots of sponsors, and he's got good people around him within the club, on the committee and everything, but pretty much everything is driven by him. Yeah. And obviously there's been expansion over the years in terms of scouting and coaching and that sort of thing, as you have to with the network of people that you have in your sort of inner circle, as it were. It just got sort of bigger, but not ridiculously. And Mark is the driver of everything there anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird talking about, because I almost feel like I know a lot about the club without supporting them. Obviously, I know.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people like that now. I think, yeah, because of a bunch of amateurs and the various different things that have been done in terms of the exposure that the club's had. Yeah,
yeah, you've got. I mean, considering you are part time club, you do have a really good team. I was really impressed with how you played, actually. I thought our game was quite good against you, but you keep the ball well. You want to actually try and play football, which I think is really impressive for the, you know, considering you are a part-time club.
Yeah, we play good football. Yeah, we do play good football. We play possession football as well. We do like to, and I know sometimes possession, and it can go side to side, and you know, back to the keeper and things like that. But that is just how we've played. That's how we've always played. And whether that's with, when we play three at the back and five across the midfield, or whether we changed it yesterday with the four, as we did Wednesday night down at Torquay. And even if conditions aren't great, we do still try and play good football and get the ball down. And I just saw some stats actually from yesterday. We had, in the second half, I mean, I know you guys are 2-0 up and stuff. We had something like 60% of the possession yesterday. And we did keep the ball quite well. And I do think that that is quite a rare thing in this division, because a lot of teams just whack it, don't they?
Yeah.
There's a lot of directness in the National League. There's a lot of diagonals to a big guy who will try and get players around from midfield. Some runners and stuff, and some more dynamic players. But we do try and keep the ball and work it wide and get in good areas as well, and things like that. We can pop it around nicely. And like you said, that is all done from just two training sessions a week. Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then games on Saturdays. And obviously last week we couldn't do that because we had Torquay on Wednesday night, so it kind of skewed up, you know, the training and everything. And those guys, like you say, they're part time, so they were down at Torquay Tuesday night for that game, Wednesday night, sorry. They travelled down before the game, and then they travel home after the game. There's no staying over in hotels or things like that because they're part time, they've got jobs, yeah. So it is, it's difficult in this division, yeah. But that's not changing things, you know. Like you said, Eden, that's not changing the way we play and how we like to get the ball down and play either. It would be easy sometimes, I guess, part-time. Let's just hit it long. Let's just try and get up the pitch and then get long throws and things like that and that sort of thing. But that's not kind of Dawkins' way, really. We do try and get it down and play football. So hopefully that continues and draws admirers, but it's just finding that killer instinct sometimes in and around the area.
I think, considering you've only just come up, it's one of the biggest compliments I could probably pay is that you're a team that's got to be respected. You know, if anyone turns up and goes, "Yeah, talking, yeah, we should beat them easy," that you will surprise a lot of teams, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Eden. I think, well, we have. I mean, we beat Notts County at home 3-1. We beat Dagenham at home 5-1. And we've had good moments, you know, throughout the season. We've had these good moments. We've got the 2-2 with Chesterfield on the opening day. We had a 1-0 away at Barnet on a Tuesday night. And I think some of that does come down to complacency from opposition. But I really liked your manager's interview in the week where he said, you know, despite the fact that we're on this really good run, I think Dawkins on Saturday is going to be one of our toughest tests. And to sort of get that level of respect and stuff, no, you know, it shows that teams are aware of us. They're aware of where our strengths lie. And I think one of your guys played against us a couple of times for Hemel Hempstead last season as well, in the National South. So people that had played against Dawkins knew how we sort of played. And obviously we played against you in the FA Trophy, didn't we, last season as well? So, yep. I think we are the sort of team, I think sometimes if teams aren't on their game, we will capitalise on that, take full advantage. And we certainly don't look like a part-time team sometimes when we're out on that pitch.
Not at all. Not at all. And again, I think even, you know, you can say what you like about sort of styles and you know, you're going to play possession football, you're going to go long or whatever, you can sort of do what you like in that sense. But I just even thought fitness levels, you don't look like a part-time side.
No, that's been one of the noticeable things this season is how fit the squad are and how they cope with that high intensity play that we do sort of have as well. It's quite a sort of a high intensity. There's lots of, I'd imagine we've got a lot of sort of running stats, lots of distance covered sort of stats as well. And the fitness levels have been improved. We've got one of the people who is full-time at the club now is the strength and conditioning, and he's really got the players into a good sort of fitness level, and he's kind of doing sort of nutritional and strength and conditioning stuff with all the players and getting them to that level, because I think so much of it so much of it is around fitness and things like that, isn't it? As well, I think, you know, you see it sometimes when National League sides or sides from lower divisions compete against divisions from other leagues. There's not much between them, but sometimes it can just come down to the levels of fitness, you know, where the guys are sort of athletes at that real top level. And I think, I think our team have shown that this season, that fitness-wise and they are competing. And we've got some, you know, we've got some older players in our team, you know, like Luke Moore, Saturday, playing in the centre of midfield, has been around for a long time, and players like that. There's a lot of Barry Fuller. There's a lot of experienced guys out there sort of in their mid-30s and stuff, and you wouldn't necessarily know that.
No, not at all. I think it's sort of, again, it's smart business, what you were saying. Again, you've not got many full-time employees, but one of the ones you've got is a full-time, like, sports scientist, nutritionist or whatever. That's a very, very smart and worthwhile investment.
Yeah. I think that's kind of where these areas lie and where they're so key, because it then means that they've got that person with you sort of pretty much all the time. Because I know there's been a few times when he's not been available, and I guess getting him on board full-time has been a real benefit. And those little marginal gains, I guess, that you're trying to just eke out where you can. You know, if we've got some, if we've got some money and we can do that, let's, that would be best spent on that, because all our other guys are happy to sort of remain part-time and can fit it in around their work commitments.
So have you ever had the scenario where someone's not available because they've got work?
In
this league.
So, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily be privy to know whether it was because of work, but I do know that Wednesday night down at Torquay, a few of the coaches weren't there because of work commitments. So the coaching staff wasn't at full strength down there. And I guess that wouldn't ever necessarily be something that would come out into the public domain. But I know that there are people, obviously, that are self-employed that are potentially having to sort of turn down work because it's, you know, they're having to say, I can't work on that particular day because I've got a game, and it's a midday meet to get up to Halifax. You know, I dread to think what the situation was the other week when they were all waiting for the coach, and then they found out that the game was off, having sort of said they wouldn't be able to work that day. So, I think a lot of them are pretty flexible, but I wouldn't necessarily know, to be honest, Scott, whether that has happened. But I do know that Wednesday, some of the coaching staff weren't down there, and I can only presume that that was just through their work commitments. Yeah. Because it ultimately, it sort of writes 2 days out of your working week. And I know there's a lot of them that sort of work in schools. There's a few teachers and things like that. So it's really difficult, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I've been in this situation myself, even just as a fan. Yeah, say it's a Tuesday night away game. It's 2 half days, isn't it, really?
Absolutely.
Quite a slap for an actual player.
And it's, you know, it was unfortunate. Some of them have been quite far as well, you know. Like last week was obviously the trip down to Devon, is a fair old trek. And similarly, in a couple of weeks, the Halifax away, again, that's a fair old trek to do in a midweek. Yeah,
it's quite, it can be, the fixture calendar can be quite unforgiving.
It can, can't it? Yeah, it's a cruel mystery sometimes, especially for the part-time team. And you've got, you know, when we had Chesterfield, Wrexham, Notts County all come to us already this season early, and they've all plotted up in a hotel somewhere in Surrey the day before, and then just made the short trip across to Dorking on match day, you know, and it's a bit different for us, the guys getting off the coach on the same day, you know, waking up from their sleep. They've been asleep for a few hours while it goes up the motorway. Yeah.
How does that feel, though, like when, basically within the first month of the season, you've played probably the three big hitters? Are you a bit like, cheers, or, you know, get them out of the way?
I think as fans, it was unreal, you know. You sort of, like, pinched me, like, we've got these guys down here, you know, playing against us and stuff. And but then when the game, obviously, we beat Notts County, We got thumped against Wrexham 5-0. But they're one of them teams, aren't they? If they get on a roll, they're a bit like a machine, really.
They will do.
We got a tool against Chesterfield as well. But it was just some of the things that you notice are the sort of things that stand out. One of the things that stood out for me, and I mentioned it on a couple of other podcasts, is just the amount of sort of staff, backroom staff, media, and all that sort of thing that sort of accompany these teams. You sort of hang around the ground afterwards, just waiting for everything to die down before you drift away. And everywhere I looked, there was like a Chesterfield guy with a polo shirt on, like part of the media team, part of the coaching staff, the media team's assistant and stuff like that. You know, they're everywhere. They're just huge amounts of backroom staff and people that do various different things with these clubs. And I guess that just sort of makes you realise that the size and the level and the professionalism that is with some of these teams.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two sort of hangers on, but in the main, you know, there's just a lot of people around. Yeah, but same that would with be like Wrexham as well.
Yeah, but for yourselves, that's even if, yeah, say Chesterfield, for example, they have got a couple of hangers on, but the likes of Dorky and you've probably, everyone there is multitasking.
Yeah, pretty much. You're right. You're exactly right, Scott. Yeah, there's somebody running around with a walkie-talkie doing something, getting a coffee for Mark, but then also showing the FA officials where to go to the boardroom, and then the match officials turn up and things like that. And they're basically doing everything. Yeah, yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's an incredible story, and I really hope this isn't sort of you reach your ceiling here. Just for the Cinderella fairy tale of it. I think I'd quite like to see it getting into the football league.
Thanks. Yeah, I think one of the things
that's just the football fan in me. The Tatch the fan. That's just me as a generic football fan. Because that is a true underdog story.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that I've really enjoyed this season is doing this sort of thing, coming onto podcasts and chatting to fans of other clubs and things like that. It's been, in the main, it's been like 90% really friendly being in this league. You know, we've got no history against these teams. We've got no previous games against them, anything like that. Dorking is a friendly town and a friendly place. And we've got this kind of football club in the middle of it now, which is really popular, for people that have always been in Dorking, like myself, who used to go and watch the old Dorking team and that, you know, played a couple of seasons for Wanderers and things like that, and know people around the club. And it's just so nice to go to, you know, when we went to Oldham, second game of the season, you know, their fans clapped us out the stadium. It took me ages to get back to my car because constantly kept getting stopped by their fans saying how well we played, and, you know, and it was a real refreshing thing to see and stuff, and we've kind of had that in lots of places where we've gone this season, and so I think, you know, I think the majority of the fans are just really enjoying being in the division, you know, going to these different grounds and, you know, all over the country and seeing us play and getting behind the team and being part of it. And I don't think it's unreasonable to sort of say, yeah, it's nice. Well, obviously, we want to go to some of these places and take the scalps. But the fans are also enjoying the journey as well, enjoying going to these places and meeting people and seeing the teams and stuff. It's a good experience.
Yeah, I think that was that really stood out to me at the end of the game yesterday, because I honestly couldn't tell you the last time that I saw the opposition team get clapped off at Root Hall. And it was not done. I think sometimes you could look at it and it almost be a little bit patronising.
Yeah.
It wasn't at all yesterday. I think that was just a proper show of respect for what you've already achieved by getting where you've got to. And also how you've played in the game, because you didn't try and stifle it. You didn't try and make it ugly. You tried to do your own thing. Mm-hmm. And it did make for a good game of football. We've seen some shockers at this level. You really do see some bad football at this level. We've over the past couple of years, we've done our fair share to take part in that as well. But I thought that was a nice show of respect yesterday to clap you guys off.
Yeah, I mean, to our fans, we could come off that pitch having lost 10-0 and we'd stand down the bottom there and clap the players and clap the management and everything, and they would come over and do the same. And I think it's good. And down at Meadowbank, we stand down there and clap the opposition off. We got played off the park a few weeks ago by Aldershot. And, you know, a lot of people drift away, but there's a good group of people that will still stand behind that goal and clap the opposition off as well. When those sort of results go again. And I think it's just that respect thing. And it's just, apart from a few Wallies who turned up yesterday, who I have absolutely no idea who they were. Nobody knew who they were. The genuine, decent core of Dorking supporters that are at home and away games will clap people off, not there for any bloody aggro or anything silly, and will respect opposition and respect their own team and their own players as well.
Do you think that's maybe a little bit of a danger that comes with the success, that comes with the YouTube show?
Well,
start getting a few more youngsters turn up.
So, perhaps. We haven't really seen anything silly at home. Club are quick to quash anything that may arise at home, and certainly not away, you know. We've had nothing but really good away trips, you know, whether it's on the coach or... And I put a tweet out this morning, you know, most away games you go to, you know pretty much everybody that's there because same faces, people that you know that go to games and stuff like that. But nobody had a clue who any of them were yesterday at all. And for me personally, they might have, you know, decided to come and get behind and support Dorking, but they really weren't the sort of things fans that we're sort of used to. And I don't know whether it's the rise of things like that, you know, because at the start, a few of us were just down chatting to Mark, but then they come in and they want to have pictures taken with him and things like that, you know. So is that based upon, you know, the TikToks and things like that? It's difficult to pinpoint it, but there's certainly no excuse for their behaviour and the way they're acting yesterday.
I'm going to be honest, I've missed all this. What was happening? Were they just getting a bit lippy?
So we had a few lads that turned up yesterday that nobody had sort of seen or recognised before that were up the back of the stand. And bizarrely, they had a Dorking flag as well, which and then they started sort of singing along to some of the stuff. And clearly, they'd had a few drinks and by all accounts, they got the train. And it's fine if they want to come and stand and support the team and get behind the team and make a bit of a noise and things like that. But they were popping down the front regularly and go looking across to that stand that you've got there, that main stand, and sort of goading some of the fans up there and offering them out and stuff. And they were teenage oiks, you know, absolute wallies, and nobody knew who they were. One of them rolled, tried to get a flare out onto the pitch, but he rolled it down the steps and it sort of petered out and this like little green smoke sort of came out of it down the bottom of the steps, and it was all a bit silly. And you just think, who are, you know, and everybody, it was causing a lot of people to sort of turn around and wonder who they were, really, because nobody kind of knew. And gradually, one by one, they all sort of got turfed out, I think.
Right, okay. So,
yeah,
I guess so, when you've got kind of a small following, it can be quite easy to go, I've got no idea who that is. And then I guess it's like...
Absolutely, because you know most of them, yeah. Yeah, you know most of them. And I don't want to draw too much attention to them because they certainly don't deserve it. But I did see a few comments on social media and stuff. And I, from a Dorking supporters point of view, I just want to say that they weren't kind of the sort of people that we're used to sort of turning up at our games and things like that. And the behaviour, if you want to stay and watch the game and support the team, that's absolutely fine. But don't behave like Wallies and do silly things like that, because that's not what we're about really as a club.
No.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, I think annoyingly we've lost Aiden again. He's, yeah. So,
I am here. It just keeps cutting in and out, so I'm just muting it because it's playing up. So I am here, but
your new
just sort of waiting to copy. Yeah, brand new laptop, it's brilliant. Yeah, just quickly going back to what you said, though. I mean, I didn't notice any trouble, to be fair. So even if it was just a couple, it wasn't noticeable. So I don't think anyone's going to put that against you as fans or a club.
No. I'd hope not. No, just, you know, we're happy to have the fans going and everything. Not a problem at all. But just don't act like wallies. You know, just don't behave like that. Really.
Your fans really good.
Yeah,
seen all game. I thought it was good.
Yeah, there was that spell after half time, wasn't there? Where he just made a lot of noise for that period of time. They're trying to get behind the team and stuff as much as possible. The good thing is when we go to a lot of these grounds, the stands kind of lend themselves sometimes to making that noise, don't they? Because you can kind of bang the old back of the stands and stuff like that. You can't do that at a lot of the grounds now. Yeah, and the roof and stuff. Yeah, so a lot of stadiums, you can't really do that. But a lot of the grounds we've been to, you can, because they're quite old, aren't they, some of them? Yeah.
Yeah, some of them are very old.
Yeah.
Ours is one of them.
Yeah.
how much of a miss has Alfred Rutherford been? Because I don't know if you're aware, but I'm pretty sure we were interested in summer. Obviously, that it didn't. No, nothing happened at the end. But yeah, that's a lot of goals to try and replace.
Yeah, massive loss, Alfie. Yeah, gutting for him and the club and everybody, really. You know, another ACL on our bloody pitch. His was ruptured. Obviously, Matt Briggs, we lost as well. I don't know if you remember, he played against you guys last year in the FA Trophy as well. And Alfie scored that really good goal at Roots Hall, didn't he, last season to put us one up there. We kind of cut him from the left and then hit it under the keeper. But he's out, and it's a big loss. We won't see him again this season, I don't think. And he's obviously, I don't know if you guys heard, but he's got to have this heart operation as well.
Yeah.
So he's got to have the heart operation before he has the knee operation as well. And the heart operation was due, but then it got put back due to an emergency that came in at the hospital. So I haven't heard anything more whether that's happened or anything yet. Been a big loss, Eden. Yeah, really big loss. And kind of never really got to see too much of him up front with Ryan Seeger at all this season, because the Wrexham game was quite early in the season and then that was him done. So, gutting for him and everyone at the club. He has signed a new contract with us as well, which I guess is kind of the natural thing to do, really, because he's going to spend quite a period of that out injured. So you don't want him to sort of see that contract out and then clear off somewhere else for nothing. So got him under a contract at least, and see how he comes back.
That's also a good commitment, though, isn't it? You know, you get someone that's gone through an injury and obviously with his heart problem as well, to back the player. I mean, it must be quite good for him as well, knowing he's got that support.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. Yeah, hopefully. I mean, because he does get down to quite a lot of the games still. We've been down at Meadowbank for quite a lot of our home games and still around the club and everything as well. So I think he is appreciative of the club and the support that they've given him. Yeah, definitely. He's one of those. He's such a nice lad as well. You know, family come to the games and he's just down to earth lad. But there's lots of teams that were talking about him, weren't there? There was lots of rumours around him in the summer from National League and other clubs as well that were interested.
Yeah. And I say I was told that we were interested in him. I don't know what stopped at the end, but yeah, I was told that we was really interested. So I think it shows the type of players you've got. You know, you've got players that clubs from, you know, even higher than this league are interested in. That probably shows how good your scouting network is.
I think we've got a good group, and they're well coached and they're well managed, and technically they're good as well. A lot of them are technically really good footballers that wouldn't look out of place playing in some of these other teams. One of the biggest losses that we have was Darren Oldacre, who was with us last season, who's now at Chesterfield. He's been massive for them, like rave reviews every week from their fans. But obviously he was a former pro anyway at Gillingham, so quite adept at making that step back into full-time football. And no doubt there'll be one or two others as well. Briggs, I know, had been looked at and gone on trial with a couple of pro clubs as well.
Is he going to be back for this season, or is he out for the year as well?
No, hopefully he should be. Yeah, hopefully he should be. If not in the next, before Christmas, then hopefully in the new year, he's getting back to sort of strength work and things like that, because his ACL was done, I can't remember when it was against Maidstone at home back in the National South. Must have been over a year ago or just under a year ago. So a fair period of time out for him. Yeah. Might have been February, March time of last year. So not far off, sort of 8-9 months, I think, for him now. Yeah. That's been another big loss.
Yeah. Big player. And
it's, you know what they say about players are always better when they're not in the team, aren't they? But there have been games this season where you think, oh, Briggsy would have been so good here. You know, you've gone, you know, the surfaces are brilliant, the pitches are nice and wide, and we like to get it wide and stuff. And, you know, and you think, I'd fancy him up against that left back and, you know, thundering down that right-hand side. And that's another thing. And Briggsy's always good for goals as well, coming in off that right wing. So that's another thing that we've lost without him playing this season, is that threat. He's got a hell of a shot on him and, yeah, he scores goals.
Yeah, definitely a very good spot. What's the goal for you? Would you say this year, is it quite just to stay up? I mean, that might sound a bit, almost a bit, I don't know what the word is, but a bit negative maybe. But I think ultimately, when you consider how, you know, what you're up against, that will still be an incredible team.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think solidifying ourselves in this division, getting, you know, staying up, being competitive, you know, taking some scouts with us on the way as well, you know, like the results and having those, like Mark always says, we have those good moments, you know, that throughout the season, and beating Notts County was one of our good moments and things like that. So being competitive and staying in the division this year, Eden, I think for us, we've always kind of, when we've gone into divisions, we've always sort of assessed it the first year, you know, gone to places because the promotions have happened so much, is that a lot of the times for that first season, this is uncharted territory in terms of the teams and the places and things like that, you know. So it's finding that footing. You know, I was down at Torquay on Wednesday and I was there when all the players turned up and they didn't know where to go. You know, they didn't know where the changing rooms were. So, you know, it's being in that league to know when you turn up, that's where the change rooms are, behind that stand, you know, and it's not a new scenario and things like that. So staying in the league and then having to think about what do we need next season to really push, you know, and really go. we've done enough this season to be competitive and stay in the league, but what do we think next season? What are our goals and things like that? So, but yeah, staying up this year would be good, Eden. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no,
and if you'd have asked me about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I would have said to have a good cup run, but we got dumped out straight away by Eastleigh, so we put that aside for another year.
We always have we call it a mid-season break now when the FA Cup comes around. Notoriously out we didn't even get to the first round this year. We got knocked out in the prelim run.
Really?
Yeah. It's the first time we've not made the first round of the FA Cup. Well, the only other time in recent history was because when we were actually in the Championship about 15 years ago.
We come in at
the third round. But when we've actually been eligible for the first round, that's the first time we haven't made it in quite not that long.
Right. Yeah. So we've been notoriously underachieving in the FA Cup. Got knocked out on penalties last year against Hayes. At the same stage before then, they went on to then be the first round proper. And obviously the first round proper this year, Eastleigh beat us at our place. So, it'd be really nice to have a decent FA Cup run and get that little bit of extra exposure. Perhaps a game on the telly, something like that. But again, that's going to have to go on hold again for another year.
No, you know what? I think the greatest compliment that I could pay the club is one and the team really that if you're gonna look at your fixture list and you see and you go it and you go into it with that attitude of it's only Dorking, I think you'll get stung. I really do, and I think that maybe have been a factor in the victory you got against Notts County. They might have turned up in it. That's a foregone conclusion. I think because it does happen, and even sometimes you may not really realise you're doing it. But I think underestimate Dorking at your peril this season, definitely.
Yeah, and I think sometimes that plays to our advantage a little bit as well, because it means that there could be that level of complacency sometimes, and even if managers have come out and said it's going to be a tricky game and pay them respect and things like that, sometimes that doesn't materialise on the pitch either, does it? So, and I think from your point of view, guys, in terms of how you played Saturday, you must have been pretty pleased with how professionally your players dealt with it. You know, they just went about their business and it went to 2-0, and then you basically sort of just played in second gear, really. And if you'd needed to, you probably could have turned it up a notch again, really, if necessary. But You defensively were so solid, and the pressing and the commitment and the work rate was so high that it didn't really allow us to get out of some of those areas, to be honest, where we were knocking it about. But they felt, okay, we can let them have it here. But if they then do come forward 10, 15 yards, that's when we're going to step in and try and stifle them again and stop them from playing. And it would be, you know, I think that's credit to your management and to your players that you got into that mindset where It's not only Dorking. It's a game. We're 2-0 up and we're going to close this out and come off at the end here, and the fans are going to love it and we'll move on to the next game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think because we came into that off the back of a great draw with Notts County, which you got to look at, a great point. We've come from behind twice against top of the league, and you're thinking, so now we're coming into a bit of a potential banana skin fixture. Literally, as you say, just an incredibly professional performance. Got an early goal, which I think would have massively helped settle any nerves as such. More from the terraces than the players, I think, because, again, I think people would be like, if that gets to half-time, it's 0-0, people do start getting a bit tetchy. But yeah, I think the early goal yesterday massively helped settle any jitters.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing I've noticed this season as well. Some of the crowds, the atmospheres and stuff do change, don't they? And they do. And the Scunthorpe game was noticeable. Yes, we were 2-0 up at half time against them. We'd attacked their end where most of their fans were behind that goal. And I think if we'd have gone to 3-0, I think they would have been on the pitch. we went in at half-time 2-0, and then they came out and attacked that same end, and just attack after attack that we just couldn't deal with. And it almost felt like that cliche, but that group of fans behind the goal sort of sucked the goals in almost, you know, because they were just playing to that crowd who got behind their team rather than turning on their team. And you do hear some groans and stuff sometimes, don't you, at games. And like you said there, Scott, like if winning over the crowd is half the battle, isn't it, really, sometimes in these divisions, because the complacency and sometimes the kind of it's only Dorking, they're only part-time, comes more from the grumblers in the crowd rather than the players and the team.
Yeah, and I think you definitely notice it with clubs like ourselves that have been at the higher level.
Yeah,
there is just such a you know, pent up frustration within the fan base that we've suffered these relegations and now we're losing this and now we're losing that. So yeah, it's just the snowball effect of years of frustration.
Yeah,
it does just come out in a negative way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It's really that is very noticeable a lot of the time now. Yeah, that's why, you know, when we beat Barnet and beat Maidstone, and Barnet, you could really sense the frustration around the place that night. Barnet, yeah, with their fans expecting better and expecting more from their team. Yeah.
Yeah. No, listen, really, really appreciate you coming on and joining us. I don't know if Eden's got anything to add, but I'll give him a sec to unmute if he's...
I'll be honest, this headache's banging. I've sort of keeping myself there. I'm just listening, but really appreciate you coming. I say it's a lot, I've really enjoyed watching the stuff. I say it feels almost like it's a team I know. So it's nice to get your views of it. I guess again, just listen about where you came from and you know that rise. I just think it's so impressive.
Yeah, and I think that's generally, you know, people just think it's a load of money thrown at it, and yes, there's inevitably going to be money. Because you go further and people are going to need, you know, you're going to have to start paying people and people won't do it voluntarily. But it, as I said to you earlier, Scott, it's not just been thrown around and chucked about here and there to build up a ridiculous squad. It isn't, you know, when people say it's a real life football manager, it's not real life football manager how I play it, because I just end up spending far too much money on there by getting a massive squad and then sacked. I wonder what to do with it. get sacked or wonder what to do with half of them. So I think kind of staying within their means and things like that is the way that things are done, rather than and sure, as you've seen as well, there's no massive turnover of players, there's no massive turnover of people within the squad. It, you know, there's some teams in this league can't keep up with the incomings and outgoings sometimes because it changes all the time, and yet we kind of limit that, and some of that's because of the part-timeness, but some of it's also just to keep that small nucleus of the squad. So many of them have been at the club for a long time, you know, and gone through promotions, know how we play and continue to do that rather than bringing in a huge turnover of players who've got to adapt to suddenly the way that we do play, you know, building up from the back and playing possession football, which is for some people, that's not how they've always played, you know. So there's a lot of continuity to it. And I think that's sometimes what stands us in such good stead, really.
Yeah. No, definitely. Thanks very much for coming and doing this, mate. It's the first one we've ever done where we've got an opposing team fan on. I think it's a nice way to, you know, really show the other side, put a different perspective on it, and maybe even for yourselves get more eyes on a platform that they didn't know was there, maybe didn't know some of that journey. Is it February? I think it's early February.
Yeah, it is February. Yes, it is February. Yeah, so that'll be good. Hopefully,
we will be there. So
hopefully there'll be a decent following from Southend to come down to Meadowbank.
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah, and we've only just set up our podcast as well, our Talking Wanderers one. It's something that we've been thinking about for a while. So we're sort of trying to push that out, and it went out on social media and everything last week. So we're going to get some sort of stuff lined up over the next few weeks to get episodes out and start talking to fans from other clubs and things like that. So
I may just do it. We're still very much learning on the job, and we're 3 years in.
That gives me and Gary some hope.
Look at the absolute kerfuffle we've had tonight. We still couldn't. Me and Eve were sitting here for like 10, 15 minutes before you come on, going, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me?" It's like we've been doing this on Zoom for well over 2 years.
As far as I know, Eden could be anyone. He just says Eden, but I don't know who he is.
We literally are a bunch of amateurs.
Yeah, apologies, man. I literally am sitting in the dark, but you'll be able to see.
He actually has got his screen on, he's just got the light turned on.
Got a t-shirt on with Eden on it. Thanks, guys. Cheers. I really appreciate it.
Cheers, mate.
When does the podcast go out then? When do you put it out?
We'll have this out on Tuesday morning.
Cool. Excellent. Look forward to it.
Yeah, we'll
chaps.
We'll drop you a link and everything when it's all live.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Maybe put a picture of Eden up or something, like a still that I used to do on the team photos. If someone was in prison, they just put them
photoshop at the end. Him in. Oh, you joke about that. We've actually done that this season.
Oh, really? Like a turnover, get a new player and put his head on someone else's body.
We literally had to do that. It's like, oh,
brilliant.
I'm not going to say who it was. I'm not going to have people just trying to watch. Everyone's now going to be looking at our team photo and going, whose head is not on their actual body? I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah. Let's try and work it out. Maybe like make it like a quiz.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do this again before the reverse fixture. You know,
before the game in Feb, we'll have another catch-up.
Yeah, definitely. And if you bring a full allocation as well, I think Mark might give you some money to spend in one of the pubs as well, as he's been doing this season.
Yeah.
With the way fans have been turning up at Meadowbank absolutely trolleyed.
Yeah. I'll be gutting that, don't you?
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
No, cheers, mate. No,
appreciate it. All the best, and we'll catch you in the new year.
Yeah.
Yeah,
cheers,
you soon. Thanks, guys. Cheers. See you later.
See you, mate. See ya.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.